That's for you. A special welcome to I've got my own. Special welcome to a good friend of ours. How should I call you?
Ong.
Ong. Ong. Okay. The Reverend Dr. Ong. Is that right?
Not really.
Not really? Okay. and others. Titus. Thank you for coming. Titus is a pastor up at Hosanna. Looks after the Chin congregation at Hosanna that met this afternoon, and Ong's preaching up there this afternoon. So thank you also. And Vivette, missionaries of the Bay of Plenty. Good to see you. So welcome. Before we've excused this man from having a sermon because he just got his visa on Wednesday. So on Wednesday he was in Yangon. Thursday he left. Friday he arrived. Saturday he came here. So we've excused him from doing a sermon. But he's going to talk briefly. I think he's going to talk briefly and just tell us a bit about what's happening in Myanmar and in his life. And he's a good friend of ours and a partner. But we partner with these people. And so,
thank you.
All yours.
Yeah. Greeting to you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Brother Jeff has already mentioned, I almost gave up my visa. I was supposed to go out of my country, Myanmar, to be here on 27th of March. But because of the complicated of my health issue, actually I'm very healthy, but some of you have heard, I know for sure, 2013, 14, 15, I was in bed. So the embassy, the immigration of New Zealand, asked me again to have my medical checkup. So I did. The medical checkup was done within one day, and the next day the result was sent to the immigration central office in Wellington. But the problem was the water festival. 2 whole weeks, the embassy of New Zealand in Bangkok was totally closed because of the holiday. So that really made my visit delay. And my wife was so happy. The thing is, because we moved our house. So packing, just only two of us. The problem is all our, we have children camp. At the same time, in my church, indoor crusade was going on, led by a very prominent evangelist from Chin State. So nobody helped us. Just only two of us. According to her thinking, we should move our house before you left for New Zealand. So on Wednesday, with a big truck, we move out our house to our former house, small house. Then Thursday, I left for New Zealand. So I was so tired physically. Thank the Lord that I could be here. This is a really miracle. It's really difficult for me to visit New Zealand. It's very difficult to obtain visa, actually. But I'm here. I almost gave up, but the Lord just kept on asking me just to be very patient. So now I'm here. Anyway, let me tell you. And at the outset, let me tell you my heart that I'm so thankful and grateful to you for your support, especially financial support, moral support and prayer support, especially for Myanmar Center for Theological Studies, MCTS. The board and the faculty members are so thankful and grateful to you. I'm the board, so I'm here standing on behalf of MCTS. And let me tell you a little bit of Myanmar. As you have heard, that Myanmar was known as Burma. Burma got her independence from the hands of the Great Britain, from the British, on 4th January 1948. Between 1948 and 1962, these 14 years were known as golden years of Myanmar, Burma. The thing is, because Burma was known as one of the wealthiest and developed nations in Asia. In 1962, General Nguyen, general military officer Nguyen, took over the country by using military power, of course, a military coup d'etat. Since then, formerly known as Burma, was under military until 2015. It's a long time. There's a military government, at the same time, Burma government, not tribal, Burma government, at the same time, Buddhist government. They pretend to be very devout Buddhist. There was a great revolution, nationwide demonstration in 1988. 8888, August 8, 1988, was unforgettable year, because the nationwide demonstration was led by university students. Have you ever heard it on that day, 8888, August 8, 1988, more than 4,000 university students were killed by military. All their bodies were thrown out to the sea, and they clean up the blood within 2 hours. Then what happened again? As I mentioned to you, they were supposed to be, or they pretend to be, very devout Buddhist. But in 2007, the military killed a lot of Buddhist monks. They justified that they were not monks, they were politicians, wearing and pretending to be Buddhist monks. But anyway, General Nguyen made the country one of the poorest countries in the world. Now Myanmar is known as the poorest country in the world. That's where I come from. But in 2016, the NLD, National League of Democracy Party, won the election. Did the military step down a little bit, but 25% still remain. Unelected group are still sitting in the parliament. What happened? Would you believe? We start having unthinkable freedom since 2016. So it has been just 2 years, I tell you. 2 years. In my whole life, I never had this kind of freedom in Myanmar. Now we are having that. Please pray for us, so that the peaceful moment situation will be going on for the sake of the kingdom of God. As you all know, that I've been leading Myanmar Evangelical Graduate School of Theology, MEXT, and then also Myanmar Center for Theological Studies, the two schools. I don't have any problem anymore with the military government. Military never show up to ask bribe, just to drink something, you know. They would ask money, 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 money all the time. if you don't give money, I'm going to close down your schools. That's it. If you don't pay them, you are finished. The kind of problem are no longer there. And then, I'm also a pastor. We call it City Church in downtown Yangon. We don't have any problem. We also have children ministry. We don't have any more problems with the government. So please keep on praying. And please visit us. I've been inviting him. He just stayed only two nights and left us. Stay longer there and we could travel around together. And I'm so thankful also for your prayer. Please keep on doing that. In Myanmar, the most important thing, the crying need of Myanmar is not any other thing. Not really evangelization. Myanmar church has been doing that. The crying need of Myanmar church is leadership. The thing is because military government was so, how do you call it, dictatorial, totalitarian leadership. The worst thing is that since 1962, Myanmar church leader learned leadership style from military officers. So, as you know how the military officers, the generals, relate to their own citizens in Myanmar. Sit down. Stand up. Don't talk back. See? They could do as they like. So the pastors, ministers of the churches, learn from the military officers, and they also have become generals to their own local churches. So leadership is really important. What we emphasize all the time is servant leadership. Like Jesus Christ, who are men and women of God with integrity, simple, friendly, and a good reputation, humble. All sorts of things that we've been teaching. So let me inform you that we've been doing great. That's why, see, I've been to several countries. All the time my friend would say, "Oh, you've been serving the Lord there in Myanmar for so long. Why don't you be with us?" Especially American friends will do that. And my answer is, I'm still useful in my own country. I don't want to become a useless man in your country. If I live here, what would I do? You do everything. In my country, I could do a lot more things. So there are many opportunities to work there. And I thank the Lord that John Buchanan and Wendy Buchanan from Chapel Hill Community Church from Hamilton, they've been with us for 5 years now, full time together. We've been so blessed by their presence. We ask them to do many things. And John D. Young and Rebecca D. Young have returned with their for the sake of their education of their children. I thank the Lord that he's now teaching at Lalo College. So the thing, now we have a lot of English teachers from New Zealand. Five of them teaching English to our students. So there are many things you could do. Young people, women group, Sunday school. Now Sunday school, my Sunday school camp, there are 108 children are there in a children camp. So you could do a lot of things. So you all are welcome, heartily. I'll be there to receive you at the airport and to make friends with you. So thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you. I've been thinking a little about how we view our world. And there's an example. How do we view our world? What's my world view? What's your world view? What do you see when you walk in your street, in your neighborhood, when you open the paper or look at your phone, what do you see when you look at your world? When you go to work and you sit at your desk and you see the people around, when you're on the train and you're in a carriage full of people not talking to each other, when you gaze out your lounge window, what do you see? Today in the newsletter, Meg has shared about her world and where she was in the refugee camp in Bangladesh and what that looked like and what it's like when you sit in the middle of suffering. What's that world look like? We haven't had Ong this week. We've had CK with us. Who's the principal of one of the colleges. He's been staying with us. He's speaking up in Cannons Creek this morning, and he talked about his world. And he and his wife look after a whole lot of kids. From his world revolves around a rubbish dump, the dump of Yangon City. And so in the face of abject poverty, what does your world look like? We've had Polly with us over the summer. So what does, and she's talked about the woman who are manipulated, exploited, trafficked. What does it look like when you're powerless? When we were in Calcutta last time, when we left, we were saying goodbye to Annie on the street, and there was a street family there. There was a big dispute, and this young woman was being kicked on the ground. What does it look like when you face things like that? Violence. All these things. What does our world look like? And we're called to have a view of our world. And I want to talk about three stories from the Bible. What about you? Those stories seem a long way from our world or your world. Perhaps, but we're all asked that question of how do we see our world? What does my world look like, and what is my response to it? And do I see the world the way that God sees the world? So the first story is from John chapter 4, and it's the story of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman. So we find Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. And the disciples have gone to town and they come back. And it says in John chapter 4 and verse 27, just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want? And why? Or why are you talking with her?" And the woman left, and the disciples urged Jesus and said, "Could Rabbi eat something?" And he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." The disciples said to each other, "Could someone have given him some food?" And Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say, 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." It's one of those situations where they could have cut the ear with a knife. They came back. The disciples were thinking, what is going on? Why was Jesus talking to this woman? It was inappropriate. It wasn't accepted that someone of his standing, one should talk to a woman alone, middle of the day, let alone the fact that she was a Samaritan across a cultural divide. Why was he doing that? And the woman leaves and the disciples urge him to eat some food, and Jesus says, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Jesus said, I have a higher priority. My priorities are different. I have food to eat that you know nothing about. You are worried about your hunger and your immediate physical needs, but I'm concerned about something different. My priority, it says, is to my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And we could add a lot of other things to that. We could say, what is my, you know, they were concerned about their physical needs, and we could say, what are all the things which consume us and take us away from serving God, from the priority of doing God's will? And it can be all those things which we can add a long list of things, you know, our health, our wealth, our status, my retirement, my job, my house, my family. We can find many reasons why we're distracted from following God. And Jesus said, look, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvesting. Open your eyes and see the world the way that I see the world. Talking to CK, when CK, and he was here on Thursday night, for those that were here, and he said, and I know I've had this same conversation with our good friend, but he said, I could have chosen to, and I had many opportunities to go anywhere else in the world, but I chose to serve my people in Myanmar. This is my calling, to do what God has called me to do. Open my eyes and see that the fields are ripe for harvest. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So there's a question here for me. It's a question for me. What are my priorities? What are my priorities? When I listen to all these stories of others, it demands a response also of me. What is my priorities and how do I see my world? Jesus said, when I look at the world, I see something. I see, as he said, fields ripe for harvest. I see people to look at the world differently. There's people. When he saw the woman, what did he see? He didn't see someone who she should cross the road and go in a different direction. When he saw the woman, he didn't see someone to be ignored, someone to question why she hadn't sorted herself out. Why? He didn't. He saw someone in need, lonely, perhaps a broken life. We don't know. But he saw that person and he reached out to her. He took the risk and he stopped and spoke to her. So here's another question. So one, what are my priorities? And another question. When I look at people in my world, what do I see? When I see my neighbour in the street, when I see that person at work, that person on the train, that person at school, that person in our life somewhere, even that person sitting near you at church today, what do you see? Do you see a person that you need to reach out to stop and take a moment to talk to? You say, I don't know where to start. And that's a jolly good question. This is all overwhelming. I've got my own burdens. I don't need other people's burdens. But Jesus said that we're called, if we're to follow Jesus, we're to follow in his footsteps and to reach out to others. And Jesus started with a simple question: can you give me a drink? That's all he started with. Can you give me a drink? Because he saw the person as more than just another person on the street. He saw the person as someone in need, and he reached down and he said a simple question: can you give me a drink? And there's the funny little verse in Matthew chapter 10 which says, if anyone gives me a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he's my disciple, I tell you, they will certainly not lose their reward. So Jesus started with a simple question. And a few weeks ago, Brad spoke about the questions Jesus asked. And there's many questions, and a lot of his conversation started that way, because he saw people in a different light. He saw them as people that he needed to reach out to. And those simple questions, we talked about them on that day, the simple questions that we can ask. What is your name? Tell me about your family. Where do you live? Simple questions. To reach out to someone, to see the world in a different way, because we believe in that we believe we're called as followers of Christ to reach out to others, but we're called to come and find that spot where we can bring the gospel into other people's lives. And it starts with a simple step, a simple question, a simple conversation. It needs to be open. We need to start somewhere. We just need to start, because the fields are ripe for harvest. So today, before we leave today, this is a challenge to ask someone you don't know, someone you haven't met, that simple question. Tell me. Someone sitting alongside you. Sorry, I don't think I've met. Tell me your name. Tell me, how has your week been? Reach out to someone. Because we're surrounded by a culture of brokenness and loneliness. We are. And as people come to the Church of God, it should be a place where they can bring their brokenness and loneliness and find the grace of God and the wealth of God. There's a second view. That's the first view. The second view comes from Luke 19. And Luke 19, there's these special words where it says, as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, he wept over it, and said, if you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. Jesus approached Jerusalem and he weeps over it. There's two references to Jesus weeping. This is one in the Lazarus story is the other, where Jesus wept in John 11. But as he viewed his world, he wept. He wept. And it reflects a deep desire and a depth of feeling for the world which he had. If only you'd known. If only you'd known. He wept. We sing a song. Hosanna. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Really? Have I looked at the world that way? Really? Well, it's easy to sing those songs. Quite often it's really easy to sing those songs. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I have for your kingdom's cause. Have we stopped? Have I looked at my world in the lens, through this lens of Jesus, and wept for the refugee camps, my friends, the brokenness in this world. Have I? I don't think so, but that's a good challenge. Have I taken that lens of Jesus and looked at my world in that way? Did I, for CK's kids in the rubbish dump, for that woman in Calcutta being kicked on the street, for the broken families in our community, for family violence in New Zealand, for lonely people, lonely elderly people, for kids that don't know their families? Have we wept for our world? If you open the paper, and do you weep for our world, which is concerned with wealth and power and prowess, prestige? Good question. But Jesus calls us to that. So maybe we need, when we sing that song, maybe we need to pause a little, take a moment. Or maybe we need to go to the top of Silverwood, or climb on the water tanks on the top of Pope Street, or those guys that go walking on Saturday mornings when they get to the top of, what's it called now? Ranitahu. When you get up there, pause, reflect on those words, and let God's view of the world sink in on our lives. And maybe we'll change our priorities. There's a quote from a book which I once read, and I've lost it, but it's said, it's a book called No Perfect People Allowed Here, and it says, the longer I walk with Christ, the more I see the Pharisee in me. I try to read daily the 1 year Bible, but my goal is not to read through it, but to let it read through me. Sometimes we need to pause and allow God to speak to us. We just sang that song. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Speak what is true. Sometimes we need to pause and allow God to speak to us, to see the world in a different way. In John 12, it says, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. The last view of the world comes from Matthew 9. And it's Jesus' ministry, and it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Another book which I was looking at yesterday, and it says, following Jesus means engaging meaningfully with the lives of others. How could we possibly believe we could model our lives on him and remain distanced from the crowds, the poor, the disadvantaged, the confused, the struggling, and the lost? How could we imagine that following him meant something apart from that? Following Christ means more than not drinking or swearing in polite company. It means facilitating a program for teenage mums. It means preaching the gospel in a refugee camp. Jesus' life is not primarily marked by retreat or reflection or solitude, although he did have those times. For him they were rarities, punctuation points in a life of engagement, action and connection. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news and healing every disease and sickness. He saw the crowds and had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, in need of something. If we say we follow Jesus, do we see the world the way that he does? If we say we follow Jesus, are we prepared to go to some unexpected places? And that might be our neighbours. To ask that simple question, can I get you a... Tell me about... What is your name? It might be to Myanmar. It might be to Nigeria, we had that a couple of years ago. It might be to Kazakhstan. It might be somewhere unexpected which you don't think of. It might be Tauranga. Even. It might be reaching out to that person sitting in front of you or behind you today or alongside you. But it means action, engagement, doing something. Because we see the world in a different way. Jesus ends with that line, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into the harvest field. If we're prepared to pray that prayer, guess what? We've got to be prepared to accept the answer. Because that answer might be you. God calls us to engage with people, to see the world the way that he sees the world. So, a couple. We've heard a lot from other people. We've heard from Ong this morning. We had CK here on Thursday night. We had the Burks. We've had Polly. We've had lots of people. We're going to get these guys coming back from Fiji. But we're all called to live, to follow Jesus into some unexpected conversations and places. Because we see the world the way that he does. So today, your challenge today, even today, is start with a cup of water or tea or coffee. Start here. Start with the people here. You're a follower of Jesus, and it says you won't lose your reward. So let's change the way we see the world. Let's think about our priorities and follow Jesus. Let's pray. Fathers, we come this morning. We admit that often we are so concerned with our own needs and our own wants that we don't see the world the way that you do. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. We thank you that you did that. You cared so much. And Lord, we pray that you would strip away the things with which block our eyes from seeing the world the way that you do. And pray that we would look afresh and allow you to speak to us. And we say, here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. And Lord, as we hear from you, we pray that you would give us the faith, the strength to step out.